D3, number 7A.
Now, we have started in considering the level of consciousness which we have when we are contemplating absolute Christian Science, and we have been seeing that on those levels we really find now the laws ruling the relationship between principle and idea. And in the word, where we have the statement of the word, we had that wonderful combination of life, truth, and love, and they always have to be taken as one, not as a sequence, like a chord, and not like three tones one after the other, just as one, which gives us that hum, that spiritual hum in consciousness, which just always says to us, that being says, I am the one life. And that one life, as life, truth, and love, is constantly projecting forth, urging forth, impelling forth the infinite ideas of truth. And they are complete and perfect. And that's what's going on all the time. And nothing else is going on. But this very fact is the Christ to every situation. So I come to the Christ, which says that there is a saving office in it, namely that it translates that whole ideal of life, truth, and love to the point of individual consciousness. That's the Christ. Christ is that which translates God to the point of idea, the absolute sense of the Christ. So, in order to symbolize that, Mrs. Eddy used that combination of truth, life, and love. It starts with truth, because truth is the whole ideal of God. Therefore, that which the Word has been showing as life, truth, and love is taken now as the whole ideal going on, and ideal is symbolized by truth when they're not synonymous terms. And so it says that truth, that whole ideal, is individualized infinitely. Here life, you have truth, life. Life is always that which individualizes infinitely. Because life is that indivisibility of being, and indivisibility of being really means individuality of being. It therefore shows that the whole ideal of God, the whole ideal of being, is constantly translating itself to the individual situation, life, to every individual situation, to infinitely individualized situation, life. Life has here that place value that it individualizes the whole idea by bringing out the ideal idea, so that every ideal of God always manifests itself in infinite ideal ideas of God. And all these ideas are of the nature of love, namely, they are completely adapted to the situation. They meet the need of every situation. That's love. Love is that infinite adaptation of being. Love is that nature in being which says, being is such that it does not give stones when we need bread, and does not give bread when we need stones. If we are hungry, then we don't need stones, then we need bread. But if we want to build a house, we don't need bread, we need stone. It is adapted to the situation. And so here you get that wonderful feel, you see, that hum which we had in the world, that life, truth, and love, is that which constantly comes to every individual situation of everybody and everything. It is translating the whole ideal to each individual situation, life, but translated such that it really brings to each individual situation that which is needed, adapted to the situation. I always feel here that here the Christ tells us that the whole ideal brings to us that which is according to our measure, to the measure of every situation. It's not just something which the Christ gives us, it is that which is exactly tailored according to our measure, finally adapted to it, because love brings the consummation of every situation. So, if we keep that consciousness alive of the Word and the Christ, both together, combine them, then we have that sense that we aren't to be concerned about anything that's going on. No matter what's going on, we shouldn't be concerned but of one thing, that namely the only real thing is principle and idea. Therefore, as the word life expresses everything of the nature of reality, truth gives us the true facts, and those facts are complete. So we know that that is going on. And at the same time, we have that tone of the Christ which says, and that takes on that individual form, that individual ideal, which is adapted to any situation of my life, of anybody's life, of the nation's life, of the world's life, of anything. You get an infinitely diversified or infinitely individualized sense of the one ideal at work. So that one does not ask, will it work right? Will it work in time? Will it be too late? Will not the solution come too late? Will it come the way that I understand it? All these questions which doubt that the ideal has the ability to translate itself into the form of an ideal idea. Say, if we have the ideal health, well, health as wholeness, truth as wholeness, well, what we see here is that that ideal health is translated in the infinitely individual ideal ideas of health, namely in the health of the body, in the health of relationship, into the health of a business, into the health of the family, into the health of a healthy nation, in a healthy world, health in everything. Health in finance, health in business, health in relationship, and so on. And so it's infinitely individualized as health. It's just not a unit health, but the ideal health is infinitely individualized through life. Because life is that constant ejection and newness and newness and newness, and therefore by individualizing it, that health remains the identity of health, but appears every time in a different way, in a different form of health, that's life. And each form, as it's what it appears, is adapted to the situation. That gives me that peace and trust that everything will be just met perfectly. Love. This is consciousness. This is not wishful thinking. This is not hopeful thinking. This is not an attitude which says, I hope it will work out this way. Will it work out this way? That's not the consciousness. The consciousness here is that you feel the very presence of this going on. Because nobody can make that translation go on. Nobody can make the translation work. The translation works by itself. because it's the nature of being that it has a Christ. And as Christ translates itself to the point of individual idea. You remember that the textbook gives that in a perfectly outlined sense on page 115 on the scientific translation of immortal mind. There, that scientific translation of immortal mind starts with God, then comes to man, and then to idea, showing that the purpose of that first translation is to translate the concept of God as principle down to the point of idea. It ends with idea. So that principle is being manifested in idea. So, in this way, naturally, in practice, we can use, or we can see, what this truth, this Christ office of truth, life and love does. Namely, it shows us that it is possible why Jesus could heal the multitude. Because in that in truth, in divine science, which is right above this column, we had the one truth, and we saw the one consciousness, or truth itself, is really including all truth. Here in Absolute Christian Science is shown that this one truth is constituted of infinitely individualized expressions of truths, life, individualized, and each one of those truths is that which meets the case. It's of the nature of love. So here we have the explication why Jesus could heal the multitudes, why a consciousness, as we said before, which is taking in one consciousness, the universal consciousness of one truth, is touching everyone individually there where each individual is. And therefore that each mentality which reaches out individually for that one consciousness is blessed by this one truth. Because that one truth here is shown as infinitely individualized truth. And so it touches the individual, and so the individual can be blessed by it, no matter if he is a Christian Scientist or not. No matter if he was asking a practitioner to be treated or not. The moment in world consciousness thought goes out for truth as such, it is touched by that one truth. And naturally, the more we are contemplating and maintaining in consciousness that one truth, the more it translates itself to as the saving and redeeming and helping Christ to every situation. It is really showing why it is, you see, that, for instance, that if I speak about any subject, and I hope I speak about truth, that what I speak is the truth, that if I speak about any subject, each one who listens to it will react differently. Each one gets something different out of it. And not only different things which I said is stressed or accentuated differently in each one, but funny enough, each one hears things which I have never been thinking of. He hears out of what I say things which I haven't been thinking. And they come along and say, I like that point which you made there and there. And then they tell me something of what I was thinking of, but what, which is true. Which is true. Not always. But, but so, see, well, we have here the explanation, because the nature of being is such that truth as such, you see, the one truth in divine science, translates itself in absolute Christian science to the point of individual truth. So it is symbolized truth, life, truth, the whole idea, individualized through life, and being adapted, love, being adapted to the mentality and to the necessity and to the need of each one listening. Consciousness, we can present something and the response, the echo from the audience is 1,000 times bigger than what one says or what one thinks. Because it's infinitely individualized and each one gets just that which he needs. See, then they come along and say, how did you know that I had to deal with this and this problem? You didn't know. But the whole talk was just for me. And everybody felt the whole talk was just for me. See, that's not because we give a good talk, but that's because the nature of reality is shown here as the Christ translating the whole ideal to individual consciousness, life, meeting exactly the point, the necessity of each one, love. So this is rooted in reality. It isn't a personal merit. It isn't that he is a big teacher, that he is a wonderful lecturer. It is because reality is built that way. Yes, let's go on to life and love in Christianity. Here you see that the term truth is omitted, is left out. Why? The term truth here is left out because Christianity, as you know, Mrs. Eddy defines as the outcome of the Christ idea in Christian history. So it's the outcome of that whole translation. The outcome of that translation is idea, principle being translated to the point of idea, bringing forth the true idea. The outcome of being is what has been called man, idea, the compound idea. And for the compound idea, we have no synonymous term, because idea is not being itself. So the outcome of this Christ translation is idea. The focus is now idea. And idea cannot be symbolized through a synonymous term. So truth is left out. Only life and love, therefore, is there, because life is the cause or origin which brings out a effect, and love is that, the mother, which preserves that effect, the outcome. So the son is left out. Christ as the son, as man, as compound idea man, or individualized man, or generic man, man in any shape and form, as the compound idea, is here the focal point, and is shown from the point of view of the synonymous term to be the outcome of father and mother, of life and love. The one father with his universal family, compound idea man, with his universal family held in the gospel of love. We have father, life, held in the gospel of love, and the universal family as the effect. Which means that here we find the true parenthood of being. That here we are considering the compound idea, usually called man, that the compound idea is always the outcome of life and love. Therefore, it gives us that sense that whenever we have to deal with man or the universe, with the compound idea, that really we shouldn't be concerned with man and the universe and the compound idea, that we should only be concerned with the origin of the idea, with life and love. Therefore, that in treating man, we should not treat man, we should treat our concept of God. Because there is no man without God, there is no compound idea without the divine principle. So, in treating with any situation, we just can put the whole situation behind us and say, this is the outcome, even the true fact about this is the outcome of what? Of the ever-pouring force of life, life providing, maintaining, sustaining, projecting its own idea, mind, life imparting its own idea, and love taking that idea and caring for it, holding it, supporting it, protecting it, preserving it, loving it, having the full promise of the idea, that's the mother. And that's all we need if we want to treat men. So, if I don't feel quite happy with myself, I'm not going to treat myself. If I'm not happy with myself, I go back and say, where am I coming from? If I come from life, then the only thing I have to see is that there is that infinite provision of life, that life just pours all the true qualities forth, that life can't help but providing and providing and providing all the infinite qualities of being. And I accept that pouring forth. And I see that these qualities which life pours forth and forth and forth, that they are not spilled all over the place, that they are not drowned somewhere into a mortal existence, but that they are kept by love, that they are protected by love, that they are cared for by love, that they are helped by love, that they are supported by love, that they are preserved by love, that love sees that this idea is being fulfilled. That this idea can't help but be fulfilled. In that supreme consciousness, instead of trying to see myself as the idea of God and what it constitutes as idea, and looking at me as ideas, I look away and say, I can't be a thing, except it comes forth from the Father, and except it is held by the Mother. And so my consciousness looks away from men, and looks into infinitude, and there I see that I am under the constant projection of all the qualities of life, of being. That all the being there is projected forth and forth and forth constantly. That therefore there is not a single thing missing, because life is just that Niagara fall, pouring forth and pouring forth, more than what one can accept, and I just stay with that. I stay with that consciousness that God is the Father. And therefore I see that which the Father has imparted, love the Mother will care for, attend to, love it, nurture it, and therefore fulfill it. And I feel that from eternity to eternity, nothing is going on but my true being constantly brought forth, and constantly being fulfilled, constantly brought forth by the infinitude of life, constantly being fulfilled by the infinitude of love. I feel that life is terrific. Because life is constantly surprising me with the newness of life. And that surprise of the newness of life brings me always in the adventure of love. So I feel I have a terrific life, constantly being surprised by something new and constantly being engaged in a new adventure of love, of the fulfillment of love. There is no frustration there. There is no disillusionment there. There one just feels that every moment something new is happening, a new vision opens, a new opportunity opens, new ideas are being born, and these ideas are always of the nature of love, namely that they are always leading us forward, that they never leave us there where we are, that they are not just coming to correct something so as to bring us back to where we were, but there are always that ideas that push us forward into a new adventure, into a new field, into a new plane, and the unfoldment of that new plane. What a life we have. The moment we look away from us, see, the moment we see that man is not a synonymous term, so that he can't do a thing out of himself, and everything that happens must be from the synonymous terms. Here we see it in Christianity, that the highest sense of Christianity is not just to try to keep up with the world and keep going and correct all that has been made wrong and so on and just get back to normal again and again and again and again. But here it is that infinite progression of life that just pounds itself on us, that just drives us into the new vision, and that new vision is always of the nature of a design of love. Something further, something higher, something more beautiful. And if we keep that in consciousness, then we are it. Then we are it. And we are not going to demonstrate it, we are not going to try to demonstrate it. So many Christian scientists say when they have seen something more, they say, oh, that's wonderful, I'm going to try to do that. Don't try it. Be it. If you try it, you say that you aren't it. And you are outside. It's just a matter of constantly accepting those facts which are. The very facts which are being, which constitute being. So there is no going to try. I hope I can make the grade. I hope I will do it. I hope I have enough understanding. I hope I... Oh, let's go away with hope. Isaiah said that the Christ has broken through the doors of hope and faith and has shown men's at one man with its principle and its idea. So for heaven's sake, if she says that already on the 36th page or so of the textbook, let's keep to that and stick to that. Instead of hoping and hope it will and have I enough, this is not science. This is not science. Here in Absolute Christian Science gives us that wonderful sense of man in Christianity, which says, don't think about man. Think about the principle of man, the origin of man, life and love. And do we feel that life is not life, that life is not providing, that life is not doing its job, that love is not love and is not doing its job? Well, we certainly don't. So if we accept that life is that infinite surprise of life, that infinite opportunity of life, and that love is taking care of that new idea, of that new vision, and is unfolding it and fulfilling it and bringing it to a great climax, then we feel that we are lived by life and love. That life and love lives us. And we are no more that, we have no more that feeling that we have to live God, that we have to live Christian Science. See, so often people say, well, he knows Christian Science pretty well, theoretically, but what is necessary, he has to live it. How can he live it? He can't. Nobody can live Christian Science. Life demonstrates life. Life lives life. How can we live life out of us? It's absolutely inconceivable. And so Arthur comes along and says, well, I don't know very much theoretically, I don't know very much, but I live it. How can they live it if they don't know what it is? It's consciousness. So let's see through all these phrases. It has become phraseology, and there isn't much worth in it. Let's see what Mrs. Eddy says in terms of the synonymous terms. That life and love is that which keeps the universal family going. The one Father held by the gospel of love is the universal family. So this helps us naturally to look away from people. And as I said, it would much be better, you know, not to have a people universe. Here we look away from people. Here we look into being, life and love. We are not looking what people do and how people behave and what people have, what shortcomings people have and what they do right and what they do wrong. We are not interested in it, not in any one of them. All what we are interested in is that the principle of being is of the nature of life, and therefore every moment putting forth its newness, and therefore of the nature of love, where we know that everything that comes in new will be cared for, will be protected, will be fulfilled, will be carried out. And that's consciousness. That's being. So, this whole sense actually frees us in the practice of a sense of having a personal responsibility for the patients or for us or for anybody. We don't have a personal responsibility for our patients. If we think we have a personal responsibility, then we try to play God. We say, I'm God, and I have jolly well to look that everything goes well. And it all depends on me. If I'm doing the job right or not right, that all depends on me. Now, here in Life and Love, you see that there is no responsibility except one, to be conscious of life and love. That's the only responsibility we have. To be aware, and constantly aware, of that infinite influx of life, that infinite outflow, and outpouring of life, pouring out constantly everything that is of the nature of being. And love is that consciousness where we see that everything will be fulfilled in its own way, not in our way. That everything has its place in its own plan, in its own design, and working out a higher plan than what we are thinking of. And this gives us the necessary peace and rest. And there is no responsibility. Responsibility rests in God, in being.